Welcome to the Smart Brand Marketing Podcast with your host, Tom the Digital Architect Liebelt. Are you tired of spending money on marketing efforts that produce little or no results? Unable to decide whether internet marketing is right for your business? Want to take your brand to the next level but are unsure of what steps to take next? Hey, you're not alone. Join thousands of others in their pursuit of growing a profitable business and learning actionable strategies on how they can outperform brands that are older, bigger, and stronger.
Hey, listener. This week, I've brought in someone that went from losing a job and being virtually homeless in Bangkok to making a good living in under 2 years. It's a good reminder for everyone that when we're pushed up against the wall, we make things happen. Enjoy. Give us some background, because you got a really interesting story, so I want to get it out there.
20 months ago, I was living in Miami Beach. And I had a job with an e-commerce company, but I wasn't doing e-commerce. I started out doing copywriting for this company, and I convinced the partners, or I asked the partners, I should say, if they would let me create an information product for them, because I already had some experience creating my own information products that sold a little bit, but I never really had financial backing, you know, and I think it really helps, really gives you a leg up if you have some money behind you to do it right. But they said, okay, you can give it a shot. And so I started to create this product about six-pack abs, basically. And I worked on that for 6 months and put together a really good product, I think, because I also researched a lot of the six-pack abs product on the market. And they gave really crappy nutrition advice, and they were just really generic and great marketing, and they sold really well, but they just, I didn't feel like they actually contributed a lot of value to people who were looking to solve that problem. When we launched, we did sell some copies, but at the same time, while I was working on that, I was working remotely, and my bosses didn't really seem to care so long as I got the job done, and they just checked up on me from time to time, made sure that everything was on track. And so while I was working with them, I had already been traveling a little bit. I actually lived in Medellin in Colombia for a month, and I had traveled all around the US. And so once we made the first few sales of the product, I was a little bit excited, and I thought, okay, you know, time to travel a little bit more. And so I bought a one-way ticket to Thailand, and I figured I will just continue working on the project from Thailand. And 2 days after I bought my ticket, literally 2 days after I bought my ticket, one of the partners of the company called me and said, hey, Vic, listen, you've done a great job with us, but we have to let you go. The reason they let me go, well, the reason they say they let me go, I don't know how much of it is 100% true, but they had a startup that was starting to do really well. And that part is true. And I think in the grand scheme of things, from a business perspective, I probably was not contributing so much to their bottom line. And maybe they just felt that after, you know, 6 or 7 months, the return on investment was too far in the future and too uncertain with a digital product. And so they just kind of pulled the plug. And I was bummed out because I've really poured my heart and soul into this thing for half a year, and now it's basically gone, and I couldn't do anything with it because they own the rights and everything. So anyway, I didn't really have any money because I was living in Miami, and Miami's a notoriously expensive city, and I was notoriously stupid about the way I managed my money for pretty much most of my life up until I came to Thailand. What I decided to do, even though I had no money, actually I had less than no money. I had about $20,000 in credit card debt, $22,000 as I recall, and probably about $2,000 in my checking account. But I decided to fly out to Thailand anyway and just sort of see what happens. So I got to Thailand, and I was living in hostels for the most part. And a hostel is basically, you know, for those of you who don't know, it's a dormitory style living arrangement that backpackers generally stay in because it's cheap and you can meet other people because it's very communal, that kind of thing. So I was paying, I think, about like $10 US dollars a night for a bed in a hostel. And every day I would go to the lobby of the hostel and I'd take out my computer and I'd work and I'd email people and say, hey, can I do some work for you? Or go on the Warrior Forum and post and just try to drum up work any way that I could, because I had a little bit of experience already in the past doing some freelance writing online. And so I try to continue with that, but writing is a lot of work for very little money, and it is a lot of competition. So I tried to figure out something else. Then about 3 weeks into my trip, my computer broke and I tried to take it to the mall here. There's an electronics mall in Bangkok, and to have it fixed, but they told me that it was beyond repair. So I had to buy another MacBook Pro from a student here in one of the universities. And by this point, I had, I think, less than $1,000 in my checking account. So I was pretty worried about money. I was pretty worried, man. I was stressed out. But I didn't really have any option. I couldn't fly back home. I guess I could have flown back home, but my pride was telling me that there's no way I'm going to do it. Probably throughout my early and mid-20s, any time that I did something foolish and wound up broke, I could pretty much always go stay with my dad. And he pretty much always agreed and gave me money. And it was very embarrassing to do that as a grown man. And I think in the back of my mind, I realized that if I come to Thailand, I can't go stay with my friend or my friends or my family. I can't rely upon them. I have to rely upon myself.
So how old were you when this happened?
25 and a half, 26. I bought the computer. I kept working in the hostel. And somehow I got this job to set up a membership site. And then after I did that job, somebody else hired me to set up a membership site. And I realized there was a demand for this service, and there were very few people doing this service. So I had an opportunity to kind of corner this niche. So I just kept setting up membership sites. And I think I did that for 9 months before I was finally able to afford an apartment. And apartments are pretty cheap in Bangkok. And then 9 months after that, I was charging quite a bit of money, because I had basically accumulated a lot of expertise and a lot of experience setting up membership sites and integrating all the little moving parts. And I had developed this premium consulting service with a really good reputation, really good testimonials. The Warrior Forum was really instrumental in being able to go from basically around $15 US an hour to 85 plus an hour in a year and a half.
So how did you get that initial job? Because usually when someone creates a product, you don't need partners for that, right?
No, you don't need partners, but if you want to create a substantial product, and it takes a lot of time, and if you want to do it well, then it could also take a lot of money, you know, because like we had to buy camera equipment and, you know, invest in contractors to make good graphics and good packaging and stuff and good copy. But I got the job initially just writing copy for this e-commerce company.
Well, then you said you went to Bangkok, right? You got a one-way ticket.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, usually when you fly into Thailand, you got to show them an outbound ticket too. So you didn't have that?
I think I bought just like the cheapest ticket I could find to Vietnam. You don't have to show a return ticket, but you do have to show a proof of onward travel. They don't care where you go as long as you don't stay there.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. So why didn't you pick up and go to Vietnam? There's a pretty nice community out there too.
I don't know. I just kind of stayed in Thailand, you know. I got here and I thought, crap, I need to find work quickly.
Yeah, so what was that first month like? Because I'm hearing a lot of advice now of people saying that, yeah, you should just get up and get a one-way ticket to Vietnam or Thailand. You'll get the skills out there. You'll figure it out. What's the reality of that like?
That's very hard to answer, because even though things went well for me, it's very possible that they could have gone poorly and I could have wound up homeless. And actually, there were a few nights when I did not have money for my bed in the hostel, and I just sort of walk around the street until the early morning when I could get back into the lobby and start working again. I think it comes down to knowing yourself and what you're capable of. If you put yourself into a situation where you have no other choice but to make things work or go hungry, you'll probably make things work. You know, I do know a lot of people who come out here, try to start businesses, and they have money saved up and they don't really do anything. They just kind of chill and party. I think because they know in the back of their mind that they still have money and it's not run out yet, not run out yet, not run out yet. And then it runs out and they're like, oh shit, I haven't done anything. with my business. Now I have to go back home and like work in a restaurant for a while.
Yeah, see, and that's the thing. I'm seeing quite a bit of that. And then when I hear your story, it's like, well, what happened? What made you different from them?
You only have one life to live. You have to put yourself in some crazy situations to really see how resourceful you can be.
You were trying to look for jobs, right, online. You said mm-hmm. you went on the Warrior Forum. That's like a crappy place to get work. Most of it is like writing for $5 per article. How did you start marketing? And then can you walk us through that kind of evolution from going from that to actually making some money?
I disagree that the Warrior Forum is a crappy place to find work. I think it's probably the best marketplace on the internet to run a consulting service. Like if you're alone, you know, or even if you have a team. And the reason I say that is because the Warrior Forum is one of the few venues that allows you to market yourself properly. Okay, so for example, if I set up membership sites and I go onto Odesk or Elance.com, I have to bid on other people's jobs and compete with a bunch of contractors who are trying to outbid me. And I don't have any sales copy to support my expertise. I don't have any testimonials to support my expertise. I may have some good reviews in my profile, but they don't really back you up, you know, and there's no opportunity for me to convince the person that they need my services and that they need them more than another contractor. And on the Warrior Forum, you have the opportunity to set up a sales thread in the Warriors for Hire section, and you can write your copy, you can position yourself, you can paste your testimonials from your clients and reviews and feedback from your clients right into your thread. I even have video testimonials in my thread, which is huge. And you position yourself in such a way that you're not competing with a bunch of other contractors who want to underbid you. You can sort of dictate the price, you know, up to a reasonable point, and you can really, really market yourself and position yourself as a premium provider. Now, the other side to that is that you have to be a premium provider. You have to be very competent, very knowledgeable, and you have to deliver great results and manage your clients very, very well. But the Warrior Forum is actually amazing if you know how to use it. I still get a ton of my business from the Warrior Forum, even now, even 20 months later, people contact me, say, hey, I saw your thread in the Warrior Forum. I saw all your great reviews. What do you charge? Blah, blah, blah. There's definitely a lot of crap in the Warrior Forum in terms of people selling make money online products, but it's also the biggest marketplace in the world. I think they have over 800,000 members right now.
Okay, so do you market anywhere else, or is it just the Warrior Forum then?
Okay, so what happened in addition to the Warrior Forum is I started to develop relationships with a lot of people in the niche. Like for example, a lot of the developers of various membership site platforms. And as a result, a lot of these developers started to sort of refer business to me because a lot of their clients sort of say, hey, can you help me set up your software? And they're overwhelmed, so they send business my way. So I get a lot of business that way. I get a lot of referral business. So I'd say it's probably 30% Warrior Forum, 30% referral basis, and 30% other methods, let's say.
So do you have a team or do you do all this work yourself?
I have a VA, but she doesn't really do anything directly related to my business. I just give her just menial tasks, repetitive stuff. I am in the process of productizing my service because we're such funny creatures as human beings. When I first came to Thailand, I would have, you know, given my left arm to charge $85 an hour. But now that I have a lot of work, I'm trading all of my time for money, and it's very stressful, and it has its own set of problems, believe it or not. You know, in that spirit, I'm trying to find a way to sort of package my service so that I can systematize it and delegate it to a team, but still work on the business, just not work in the business.
Yeah, so you kind of answered the question I was going to ask, because trading time for money is just not a really good way to go in the long term, because you can't really think about what's going on in the marketplace. You're just working on the jobs. So what's the biggest thing you learned while developing this service from the time you went broke to now?
You just have to keep hustling. Basically, you know, I was one of those guys. I actually, in a former life, when I was like 20, 22 or so, my career was actually opera singing. I was a singer. And that was I thought I wanted to do that for my whole life because I really loved music, but it's a really crappy career in a lot of ways. And it's very difficult, and the money is not good in general. And so I quit it, and I read the 4-hour work week. And I thought, holy crap, you can work only 4 hours and you can just set up this business that runs on itself or by itself. Wow, I want to do that. My disillusionment with that concept was really harsh because I do know people who work very, very little, but it took them years of really hard work setting up a business that allowed them to do that, or setting up a business and then selling that business that gave them the money and the freedom of time for a while to be able to not work too much. But the idea of a 4-hour work week, in the sense that you're only going to need to put in 4 hours a week to build a decent business, is just not really the reality. To go in with that expectation, you're bound to be disappointed. You should go in to any business, any honest business, with the expectation that you're going to be working your ass off. And that's what I've learned. I've learned that it's all hard work. It's all a hustle, and there's no easy free money. I probably work 3 hours a day, billable hours, and then I try to spend an hour or two on my own projects as well. So maybe, 3, 15, maybe 20 hours a week or so?
That's still more than 4 hours a week.
More than four, less than 40.
All right, Vic, where can people find you if they want to reach you, or if they want to just see what you're working on?
Sure, they can go to www.vicdorfman.com, VICDORF, as in Frank, MAN, vicdorfman.com.
Thank you for listening to this episode. If you enjoyed it, please help out by leaving a review on iTunes, and don't forget to hit the subscribe button. If you have any questions, hit me up in the comments on smartbrandmarketing.com. Until next time.
Thanks for listening to the Smart Brand Marketing Podcast with Tom, the Digital Architect, Liebelt. For more tips, tricks, and interviews, come visit smartbrandmarketing.com. That's smartbrandmarketing.com. And join the newsletter. It's free.